Nobody was listening yesterday when I was talking up Steely Dan. So, by the way, there is a tribute band called Steely Dane, I assume based out of Dane County. It has been on my to-do list or my wish list for, I don't know, maybe 5 years, I think. But of course, I think the one time they played up here in the Eau Claire area, I was away. And I have a feeling, Luke, this is not the kind of thing that you would go to.
I've heard of them before, and I think I may have seen them at Memorial Union, to be honest. I don't know if it was more of a, I caught the end or a portion of a show, but I did not go there for that specifically. But I believe I've seen them play at Memorial Union in the past.
I did get to see when Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers were touring together in, was it 2017 or 2018? And they were playing in St. Paul, and that was my wife's birthday present to me. Which, of course, now it's, you know, just Donald Fagen, of course, in terms of Steely Dan. But boy, you talk about older musicians. And I see, you know, you see, let's see, Chicago has stayed together all these years. The Doobie Brothers have kind of come and gone. But my point being that while a lot of singers might lose their range after a while, if you're a good guitar player or a good horn player or a good drummer, and you can keep that skill set going, these older musicians, I mean, they are still bringing it. And I say that as a complete and total non-musician. But I used to always joke about, you know, old bands that they'd come out in their walkers, you know, and could barely play anything. And that actually, you know, if you can still put on a good show, you can put on a good show. If you're still a true showman. Now, for example, I haven't seen Rick Springfield. I saw him once at Rockfest up here in Cadott. But again, this, we're talking maybe more than 10 years ago. So I don't know if he's still bringing the show quite as strong as he was, but boy, could the guy put on a show. And that's the thing. You've got to have some talent. You've got to have some range. And maybe what ruined my view was a Fleetwood Mac appearance at Summerfest. And now we're going way back to maybe the mid-90s, you know, before when they were really kind of in a lull before all the reunion tours. And Stevie Nicks couldn't hit some of those notes to save her life. And I think, you know, since that time, maybe they stopped trying to be, you know, younger than they were anymore. But I would love to get back to Summerfest. It's been a long time since I've seen and really appreciated live music. Well, the same can be said for all of us, you know, thanks to COVID. But you're the one who, you know, you're in more of a metropolitan area, probably get exposed to more live music than I do.
What are you doing this Saturday? Because Steely Dan is playing at the Memorial Union Terrace on Saturday.
Maybe I will have to consider a trip down.
There you go.
No, I actually can't, because at some point this weekend, I will be in the Twin Cities, because at a museum, there's something called an immersive Van Gogh exhibit. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, it's my wife's idea, and I'm perfectly happy to go along. I haven't read up on it. And sometimes I don't. When something is being planned by the woman who had the courage to marry me, I sometimes just want to go in there, you know, with a complete blank slate and see what I'm going to see. But we were telling our daughters about it in a FaceTime chat, and when they heard Immersive Van Gogh, they asked if people are going to splash paint on us. And I said, I don't think it's that kind of immersive. I don't think you're not there with, you know, goggles and getting paint splashed on you. I think you're like going into the painting, not the process.
Yes, I believe that's correct. From what I've seen, it looks really awesome. So I hope you have a great time doing that. But it seems like there's a lot of projection of lights on walls, and you get to see the art that way. And it's everybody that I've heard went really enjoyed it. So it seems to be a really good exhibit. Otherwise, on October 20th, you could be in, or excuse me, October 14th, Friday, you could find yourself in Green Bay, and Steely Dan would also be there. Those are the next two upcoming events that Steely Dan has on their website, Pat. So,
all right. Are we becoming the official Stan show for Steely Dan?
If it's on your bucket list, we got to find a way to get you there. We got to have you see a show.
I would be okay with that. We were talking earlier to Joe Zepecki about a host of issues, and including the Inflation Reduction Act. And I singled out Brit Hume for criticism about, you know, how how he's covering things like the January 6th committee, and how is it that, you know, Trump continues to get more headlines. Obviously, the search of Mar-a-Lago was a big deal, but in terms of the impact on your life and in terms of landmark legislation, the Inflation Reduction Act is the true big deal. Unfortunately, as was written here by Brian Schatz, I feel like the media is having a hard time metabolizing the fact that this Congress has been historically productive. And acknowledging the size of these accomplishments and the degree of difficulty, it's just hard to do accurately without sounding a bit left-leaning. And Mark Jacob, former editor of the Chicago Tribune and Sun-Times, we had him on last week, he was looking at this New York Times headline, and the headline is analysis. For President Biden, even a victory with the climate law can hardly break through the attention on his predecessor. And Mark writes, translation, we're the New York Times, and if we write a headline centered on Biden's climate law victory, someone will call us liberal. So we'll write a headline centered on Trump instead. And that's exactly it. Is, again, it's like what, you know, Andrea Mitchell tried to do on Meet the Press this past Wednesday, is this infatuation, this obsession. They can't quit Donald Trump the way Ron Johnson can't quit Hunter Biden. It's just something that is so wrapped up in them that they won't let it go and focus on the here and now. You know, the here and now is what's getting passed, what's getting done for the American people. But instead, we have this fixation. And it's not that it's not like the coverage is all bad. We're going to hear a lot for a long time about, you know, what Donald Trump has done, the crimes that he has committed, and the people in his orbit are not going to fare well. And to that end, I'm going to close this segment with a New York Times review of Jared Kushner's new book, Breaking History. I highly recommend reading this entire thing by Dwight Garner, because it is, let me read this. Breaking History is an earnest and soulless and peculiarly selective appraisal of Donald Trump's term in office. Kushner almost entirely ignores the chaos, the alienation of allies, the breaking of laws and norms, the flirtations with dictators, all to speak about the boyish tinkering with issues he was interested in. This book is like a tour of a once majestic 18th century wooden house, now burned to its foundation, that focuses solely on and rejoices in what's left amid the ashes. Kushner's fealty to Trump remains absolute. Reading this book reminded me of watching a cat lick a dog's eye goo. That's just a little bit of the review of Jared Kushner's book. And again, you don't have to read the book, read the review. We'll be back with more after this break. You're up north.